was that when you get more people in a church, you get more problems. Because I was brought up at, most of you know, I was brought up at Church Street Gospel Hall, which was has its roots in the Brethren. And everybody knew how to behave. But when you get people coming off the community into the church, and they really don't know how to behave. And so hope, you know, we don't want to stop them coming in. You know, we've got a young family come just now. We've got a husband and wife and a little girl. And the little girl will persistently just come down the church and run around the communion table and this, you know. And you don't really want to say, excuse me, do you mind not doing that? Because they might not come again. But sometimes we've got to have a quiet word and say, well, do you mind just kind of letting her run around behind the church instead of at the front? When the readings were... oh, I'll tell you about myself first, if you want. I don't mind. Can I?
This one.
Oh, that one. Okay, I'll use this. That one. Okay, I'll use that one. It means I've got to stop here now then. You know, trusting God is easy, isn't it? No, it's not. Who said it is? But that's what he calls us to do. You know, we don't know what life throws up or what situations and circumstances we come up, but God makes a provision for us all in whatever circumstance and situation we find ourselves in life, because he knows about it. We might try to keep secrets from each other, but God knows. So if you're having problems and difficulties and you're not sure what to do, just keep trusting. Because as you know, this time last year I was supposed to be coming to speak here, but I couldn't because my niece died quite suddenly, and we're still suffering from that. The two children, the dad couldn't cope, so the two children are now in foster care. And, you know, we've not seen him since October. We've tried all means, you know. But, you know, as I sat by her bed March last year, two things that came to me were trust in me. Lord, I don't understand what's going on, but you told me to trust you, so I'm trusting you in this situation. And he says, I will be with you. I will be with you. And in December last year, it was a traumatic time for me, because I retired. I took, finished working for the ambulance service. And between me and you, I'm struggling, because I'm a structured kind of bloke. You get up in the morning, you go to work, you come home at night, and, you know, whereas you've got all this free time now, haven't you? Those of you retired, you got all this free time? No, you haven't. I offered to work for the ambulance service, you see, one day a week on the bank. And they said, oh, that's good, yeah, coming out. So I couldn't work for the first month, so the first week in January, I offered them a day. Yeah, that was good. Last week, I offered them a day. That was good. This week, I can't offer them a day. I'm too busy, you know. But it's seeking what God wants you to do with his time. And it's being this servant attitude before God to allow him to say to you, I want you to do this. I want you to go there. And I was talking to Rosie about, Rosie's my wife, if you didn't know. I was talking to Rosie about this. And she said, I will support you where you feel God wants you to go and what you want, you know, what you want to do. If it's not back to work, then don't go back to work. And at Bethesda, one of the things we do is support the food bank. On a Friday afternoon, there's a food bank, Citizens Advice, and also a cafe. And somebody had donated some clothes. And Rosie said, if you take them down to the church, they can go with the food that's just come from the school. So I went down to the church, the food had all gone. So I said, what do I do then? She said, well, take it to the Hope Centre, Mosaic Church up at Hill Fields, and they'll take it off there. So I said, when do I go? She said, Friday afternoon. So, okay, so I gets in the car and I goes over to, you know, God's time is absolutely brilliant. And I got the two bags out of the car, and I don't know whether you know the Mosaic Church, but you're going through this door here, but then there's a corridor that comes across this way. And I came in through this door, and Tony, who heads up the food bank, who was coming this way. So I said, Tony, I've got some bags of food, bags of clothes for you. Oh no. I said, what's up? He said, it's just before Christmas. I'm just up to here with it all. He says, what's the problem? He said, I'm short of drivers. Oh. So on a Friday now, I drive for food bank, you know. So that's another day gone. But trusting God, what he wants you to do, I go through that door, Tony goes through that door, and I talk to him. I could have just gone in, dumped the stuff, and gone again. But because he was there, I was there, God's timing is perfect. And so I'm happier being a servant, right, than let somebody serve me. Anybody else have that trouble? Yeah? I'm happy doing things for people rather than allowing people to do things for me. You know, it's just the way I am. I can't help it. You know, if something needs to be doing, I'll get up and I'll do it. You know, why are you doing that? Somebody else? No, I want to do it. And I'll get into trouble with Rosie and people at the church quite often. But my time's nearly gone, hasn't it? That's all right then. When this passage was read to you, you know, both the one in Mark and the one in John, I wonder what struck you most of all. You know, sometimes you can read and just a phrase or a word will just bump, hit you between the eyes. And what got me when I was reading it was the arrogance, in a way, of James and John. but you know people like that. You know, oh, look who I am. Oh, ain't we good, eh? Have you seen what I've done? Have you seen where I've been? But you see, in the preceding verses, Jesus has been talking to them about what would happen to him. He says this: "We are going up to Jerusalem. The Son of Man will betray to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, kill him. 3 days later, he will rise again." Now, I believe James and John were there in this conversation. Jesus was talking to them about what would happen to him. What did James and John do? They walk up to Jesus. "We want you to do this for us." What is it? "Excuse me, have you forgotten what I've just been talking about? That I'm going to be taken, that I'm going to be killed? Who are you thinking about? Just you? Just you? What's in it for you?" I'm very sad to say that our people who profess to be Christians, who's in it for themselves. That's not the servant attitude. That's not the right way to be. We are here to serve. "What do you want?" "What, teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want?" "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in glory." Personal exaltation. Jesus said later on in this verse, "You know that those who were regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lorded over them. Not so with you." The way that you live your life, the way that you behave, the way that you act out is not going to be like them. It's got to be different. You haven't got to seek the high place. It's not mine to give anyway, but you've not to seek that high place. If someone lifts you up to that place, fine, but don't seek it for yourselves. "Can you drink the cup?" And Rosie told me not to speak on this because I'm struggling with it, but I'm going to read it anyway. "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said, "You will be baptized. You will drink the cup. But that position of authority is not mine to give." James and John could not suffer the wrath of God, which Jesus would do when he went to the cross. But James and John would go through trials and tribulations. They would go through persecution. And in Acts chapter 12, we read that James was killed. King Herod had him killed. And do you struggle with that sometimes? If you read that chapter, not now, but some other time, Acts chapter 12, Peter and James had been put in prison. James, he was taken, he was killed. Peter, he had a miraculous escape. Why? I don't know. Why couldn't James be allowed to escape as well? I don't know. It's one of these things that I don't know of the Bible. But coming back as a servant to its master, it's trust. You don't question, you know, if you're a servant, you don't question what the master tells you to do. And as a servant, you might not see what the outcome might be. You might not see what the reason for doing what you do. You're just obedient to the command or the instruction that is given. So Jesus is talking to James and John. But then if we just go back to these verses, when the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Because they were seeking a place of position, a place of power, a place of authority maybe, the ten became indignant. Just a few verses earlier, they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, Jesus said, What are you arguing about on the road? But they kept quiet, because on the way, they'd argued about who was to be the greatest. Hard lesson to learn, isn't it? They'd done it. Jesus had taken them through it. Unless you become as children and take the lowly place. But here again, James and John trying to find that place of authority. When the ten heard about this, they became indignant. Do we get indignant with people in places of position of authority that God has raised to? I can do that. I'm as good as them. Yeah, but maybe God hasn't called you to do that. So be happy in the place where God has put you. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Boy, that's a low place, isn't it? Eh? That's a really low place. Slave to everybody else. If you want to take a high place, take the low place. When I worked for the ambulance service, I used to have a saying, and I told my boss this because I like talking to the boss. And it's basically, when I'm taking people to the hospital, I am your servant. I am taking you from A to B, B to A, whatever it might be, but you are not my master. You don't tell me how to do it, you don't tell me what to do, but I'm here to serve you to the best of my ability. Within a church circle, we are servants of each other, but most of all, we're servants of the living God. We might have other people that can encourage us and help us and get alongside us to serve better, to help each other better, but really, we are servants of the living God. Doug said, you know, basically, I'm one of the leaders at Bethesda. Yeah, I am, but I don't like calling myself a leader. I am a servant of the church at Bethesda. I know I am a leader in a way because you've got responsibility and all this kind of thing, but I am there to serve the people of the church who meet at Horsley Park Evangelical Church. I am not there to lord it over them. I am not there to say, I'm one of the elders, you better do what you're told. I am there to serve, to encourage, to build up, to disciple. And if that means sometimes you've got to lord it over people because they're straying, fine. But most of all, the underlying thing is this servant attitude. I'm no better than anybody else. Because I've got a position of being a leader in the church, I'm no better than the person who stands at the door or sweeps the floor or mops the floor or does these kind of things. We are given, or we are servants of the living God. Where's my notes gone? Somewhere. Here we are. So Jesus is trying to turn it, or Jesus is turning it all around, that you become a servant and not try to lord it over. Don't see that place of prominence. Somebody puts you there and you're gifted to do it, fine, because it's all in God's purpose and plan. But don't seek the place of power and authority. If I was to ask you, what's the hardest thing to do as a Christian? I wonder what your answer would be. If I said to you now, you're here at Canley Evangelical Church, and I'm asking you, what is one of the hardest things to do? It's to love people who get up your nose. I find it difficult. People who rub me up the wrong way. People who don't seem to empathise with what you're trying to do. But Jesus is wonderful in the way that he explains to this close-knit group of people how that they are progressing from being the servants who are just doing a duty, from just going ahead and doing it, not always knowing the outcome, to becoming into the confidence of Jesus, to come into the confidence of God. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends. And it's great to have a friend who you can confide in, who you can talk to, that you can be open and honest with, and somebody that knows you as well as sometimes you know yourself. I've got a friend that we didn't go to school together, but from probably 12, 13, we played football together, went fishing together, and I go and speak at his church occasionally, and he wrote a letter to me one day saying how much he valued my friendship. valued my friendship. We're just mates, that's it. You know, we just... But he said, yeah, but we can talk. We can be open. We can be honest with each other without falling out with each other. And I like to think as Doug, as a friend, we meet for coffee occasionally. And we're good at telling each other we must take a break, you know, because we're too busy. I'm telling him that and he's telling me that. But we don't take any notice of the advice that we're giving to other people. But it's great, you know, that you can be open and honest with a friend. And Jesus is such a friend. But sometimes we need that physical seeing somebody, talking to somebody. And so it's great to have a companionship, a friendship that we can be open and honest with, and they can be open and honest with us. But Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. How did he love us? Sacrificially. He gave of himself. That's what a servant does. Sorry? He died for us. He did indeed. He gave himself sacrificially. He gave his all for us. And sometimes we'll go so far and no further. But a true friend is, we sang earlier, walks that mile, helps to bear our burden, walks alongside. I was saying to Doug that I have the Christianity magazine. There's a piece in there about friendship, and I forgot to bring it with me. I'm trying to think what it says, is that a friend doesn't ring up and say, call me if you need me. A friend is there when they know the need. I've done that. You ring somebody up and say, yeah, okay, yeah, fine, well, call me if you need me, put the phone down. But really, if you know they're in a situation, then we should be alongside to help. A true friend does. Doesn't it say a true friend loves at all times? But this is my command, love each other as I have loved you. You are my friends. What's the next word? If. It's only a small word, but don't it mean things? You are my friends if you do what I command. I'm God's friend. I used to work with a fella. Me and God, we're like that. You know, we're great mates, me and God. Goes down the pub and gets drunk, and he swears, and he does all these other kinds of things. And I thought, well, you're not actually doing what God says, obeying his commands, walking in his way. You are my friends if you do. And one of those things, you are my friends if you do what I command. That's to love each other. Lord, I find that person so hard to love. Yeah, I know. But I'll help you to do it. I'll help you to get alongside. We used to pick a patient up from down in the town. And when he used to get in the ambulance, when he got out, we used to wind both the windows down, you know, and drive around a bit just to get there, you know. And God used to challenge me, Terry, if this fellow came into your church, what would you do? What would you do if that fellow came into your church? Excuse me, do you mind sitting at the back over here? That's not right, is it? Hey? That's not right. He's called us friends. He knows you and he knows me. He knows the mess ups that we make. And yet he loves you. He loves you more than we can actually grasp or understand. And yet he wants us to express that love to each other too. By the way that we live, the way that we behave, the way that we act with each other. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And these disciples that Jesus had chosen were picked. And Bob Telford used to have a resume of the 12 disciples that went for an interview for this whatever. And Bob Telford would tell you the only one that was any good was Judas. And the only one that would make it in the secular society today or the world today was Judas. So that speaks to me that Jesus takes people that the world thinks have got no hope. That people think, well, you know. But Jesus takes us, whether we're servant or friend, to use us to bring blessing and help into others. You did not choose me. I chose you to bring fruit that will last, to bear fruit. What is that fruit? As a child growing up, as a young person growing up, it was drilled into me in a way that that fruit was seeing people saved, seeing people won through for Christ. That is the fruit. Well, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know. But I think that fruit that will live, that last, is we allow the God by his Holy Spirit to work in us and through us. That people are encouraged, that people are blessed, that people take a further step along that Christian pathway in their relationship because of the word you said, because of the deed you did. You might not know about it now, but when you get to glory, somebody might say, Doug, John, David, that word you said, that deed you did, really had an impact on me. And you might not know anything about it. But God takes what you know and what you do as a servant, as a friend, to bring glory to him. But it's not a fruit that will rot and waste away. It's a fruit that will last. Then my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Reading this verse, it seems as though we've got to be about the Father's business, asking, and then as we bear fruit, so God answers our prayers. And we ask in accordance with his purpose and his will. This is my command, love each other. It's what we need to do. But going back to the previous chapter, whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to serve, to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. The Lord Jesus is our prime example as the servant king. The one who gave, the one who served, the one who could have lorded it over everybody, the one who could have made people do things for him. And yet he was the one that took the robe and washed the disciples' feet. He was the one who took the humble place. He's the one who took the lowly place. He came to serve and give his life a ransom for many. Love each other, serve each other as we serve the Lord. And I didn't realize until I was kind of finalizing my notes this morning and I read the piece that Doug gave me, who do you think you are? How do you answer that? Who do you think you are? Because they say that as a derogatory sometimes, don't they, when you get a position. Who do you think you are? But before God, in the church, in the congregation, who do you think you are? Can I just say this morning that you are loved by God? Whether you view yourself as a servant of God, whether you view yourself as a friend of God, you are loved by God. We are servants. We are, who do you think you are? A sinner saved by grace. We are servants of the living God, seeking to please him and being obedient to him just as Jesus was. So whether you value yourself as a servant, whether you value yourself as a friend, because a friend serves. And a servant can be a friend. But we are servants and friends of the living God. And I just want to close by reading this passage to you. All of you, clothe yourself with humility towards one another, because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Do you feel that? Even though life might be difficult and hard at the time, do you believe that God cares for you? Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. As God calls you to serve him in the place where he has put you, he gets the glory. And when I first seen I'd got servants and friends, my mind went to Luke chapter 2. And the angel spoke to Mary and she said, I am the Lord's servant. She didn't know what would entail. She didn't know what the outcome would be of her carrying the Lord Jesus in a womb of being born. She said, I am the Lord's servant. She was obedient to him, and he calls us to be obedient to him too. But then just this morning again, I read in John chapter 2, John chapter at the end, last chapter anyway. And Peter's met with the Lord and he's been restored to the Lord and feed the sheep. And John's tagging along behind. And Peter says, what about him? And Jesus said, what's that to you? It's not your problem. Not your problem. If we can get alongside people to help and encourage, brilliant. But if we see people sometimes being hectic, you know, above us or whatever, or if they're in the right position for it, then give God the glory and the praise that he's chosen them. But let's seek to serve the living God. We're going to sing a song now that I used to sing when I was at school. I probably didn't recognize the enormity of it. And we'll make it a prayer as we stand to sing together the hymn 418. O Jesus, I have promised to serve you to the end. Be thou forever near me, my master and my friend. I shall not fear the battle if thou art by my side, or wander from the pathway if thou wilt be my guide. Servants and friends, may the Lord bless you as you serve him here and the places he's called you to. Thank you.